You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Attention sports fans. Are you a fan of an NFL team? Would you love to attend your favorite team's Week 1 game? Well, you're in luck. Fans First Sports Network is giving away 4 free tickets to the Week 1 NFL game of your choice up to $5,000. The rules to enter are simple. Step 1, go to contest.fansfirstsports.com. That's contest.fansfirstsports.com and fill out the appropriate information. Step 2, find us on Facebook, Fans First Sports Network, and like our page. That's it. Once you've done that, you've officially been registered to win the 4 free tickets to any Week 1 NFL game. What are you waiting for? Go enter for your shot at seeing your favorite team in action. Contest ends on September 4th.
Hello, Africa. We're here. We're back. We're the top 25. We're the under 25. And we're calling in Africa today. We're calling in the big guns. And I'm super happy to have Jason Paul, also known as Wave Intel on X or Twitter, what we call it next week, I don't know. But I'm super happy to see your face again and to hear your voice again, Jason. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yambo from Kenya. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I'm practicing the lexicon of hockey data because I haven't been speaking or doing much of it for the past couple of months.
Well, when you're in Kenya, you're supposed to be on safaris and strangling, giraffes or whatnot. And I know the coastline is fantastic as well. So the fish should be pretty awesome. I'm happy you suited your hockey coat on and dive through some data. We're here to talk about the top player of the last plateau, really, in the rankings. There were 4 players within a point of each other in the top 5 or in the top 10. The 4 players are from as you all know, Reinbacher, Hudson, Slapkowski, and now today Gouli. Gouli is the highest of them. He had a spread between 7th and the 3rd in the ranking. 7th from Hadi and Mark, and the 3rd most valuable prospect or player under 25 from Anton and Gedem, who is a member of the community. You look through the data, and obviously you're in even a worse time zone than me when it comes to NHL. But how much of did you actually watch Gouli last year?
Yeah, I watched Gouli a lot last year. I think there was a point, and I always get to a podcast, I always have to talk about Suzuki, but I think there was a point where I was watching 110% of Suzuki's shifts. I can't say that about Gouli, but I watched them closely. I watched the D very closely. And I think it's super fun, and it's even more fun because St. Louis let them play last year, right? So he played a top 4 role, played top 2 role, actually, and we got to see all the good and all the ugly. So there was a lot to see. Nothing hidden.
Yeah, well, partly that, but also you got to let him play and see the ugly so you can correct it. So it's not like he's still very, very young. So there's a lot to work with.
Yeah, totally. You got to give it to the organization because I think it's a positive thing that they let these kids play. I mean, you warned me not to talk about all the defensemen, but I'll talk about Jacki. And I remember the first quarter of the season, he seemed to be giving up an odd man rush every period. But they kept putting him out there and giving him confidence, and he improved. And I think it's the same with all the other young defensemen, including Gouli. I think he is the one that sticks out the most of how the coach deployed him consistently as a top 2 defenseman. And I think that says a lot.
I'm gonna be honest with our listeners here because you have asked and we're going to supply it. We're going to go back to Jason Paul within like a month to have that series that we had a couple of years ago where we go through the goalie system, where we go through the defense, and where we look at towards the forwards and a little bit what we can expect from Montreal this upcoming season. It's not going to be much better, though, because the Atlantic is stuffed with really good teams, which means that we will probably see the defense go out there and play again.
Totally. I mean, I don't really think they had a chance to keep Jeff Petrie, but I mean, that's a good example of they could have tried to convince him to stay. You would have had a minute munching veteran defenseman that they could have deployed there, but I'm certain that they did not, simply because they want the young kids to play.
Yeah, and also we all knew that Petrie's family maybe didn't really like it in Montreal that much, and were looking to stay in US, and you know, Detroit was a match made in heaven in that regard, and it also sends a message: we will look to facilitate the trade that the players want. So even if you lose Petrie for next to nothing or a very small bonus, you're gonna maybe cash in on that later in that regard. We haven't really spoken so much about the Petrie trade, but it's a good way of starting maybe this Gouley, because if you put Petrie in there, Gouley might have not played the same way that he will play this upcoming season. You have some fantastic graphs in front of you, obviously. What can you tell us in regards to how he was driving play, partly in regards to NHL, but also looking at Montreal's team in general?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers aren't pretty. I mean, the numbers are not pretty throughout the whole team, right? They had a terrible year last year statistically. And Gouley, if you look at his individual, we'll use the term play driving. So we'll use, you know, expected goals for and against, puts him in an area relative to the NHL that's not so great. you know, his expected goals for and against were not super, and the actuals were not as good as well. So I'll put these charts up on my Twitter, and I think you're going to put them on the website as well, so that everybody can see it. But, you know, if you look at it relative to the NHL, doesn't look so great. If you zoom just into the team, then it looks a little bit better. Then you start to see what he's offering the team. Basically, his suppression, his expected goals against level is pretty good relative to the rest of his teammates. But what's probably more impressive is that he's done that being deployed against the elite competition of the other team consistently throughout every game. I use a website called Puck IQ, which is fantastic, and they do a good job of ranking or showing where players play in the lineup and against who. And for Caden Gouley, only Savard played against tougher competition all year for the Habs. So I know there's lots of people on Twitter, including myself. I pump out these charts and they show Kovacevich and Harris. I don't want to give away too much, but they put up some good numbers, raw numbers. But I guess what's not shown is that they are quite a bit more isolated than Caden Gouley. So night in, night out, when you're playing against Crosby and all the big guns, it makes a big difference at the end of the season.
Especially when you consider maybe that you play the East Coast teams a little bit more, East Coast teams that have been stacked a little bit more. You're not facing maybe the Sharks, the Arizonas, and LA was decent this year, but there has been a certain discrepancy. Even if the East has or the West has won the last two Stanley Cups, there has been a little bit of discrepancy in regards to overall power of the different conferences. Looking at Gouley, you mentioned the play driving. You mentioned that he was offered all chance. You mentioned facing the toughest competition. What surprised you the most?
I think what surprised me the most was probably, from a statistical point of view, would be the actual numbers he put up. He put up some pretty big numbers. And so I always question the underlying numbers, so the expected goals on ice numbers, when someone's not putting great numbers, those underlying numbers up, but yet they're scoring. People often say, okay, it's just an outlying high shot percentage that he has, which is true. But then, you know, if you see this consistently, then there's something under there. There's something that he does a little bit special. So I think that statistically, that's probably the thing that sticks out the most for me. But visually, obviously I think everybody sees it, and that's why they rank him so high, is his, you know, his physicality, his confidence, the fact that he didn't wilt under that consistent competition. I thought that's really good. He showed, for me, when I watch him play, just like any other probably young defenseman, is over in his own zone, overplaying things, overcommitting, playing a little bit too hard in the corner, and allowing, you know, if you go for the big hit or you push too hard, sometimes that's not the greatest thing to do, because, you know, the puck carrier is able to spin off and make a play, you know. Yeah, so I think that's the number one thing. The actual points was pretty impressive, and considering none of those points came off of power play.
Yeah, I mean, we can joke a little bit about it, and I certainly do. We might call it the Carlson factor, you know. We're looking at a lot of players, and how we discuss defense sometimes is the fact that how many goals or how many assists that they get, where, you know, you're forgetting the power play. You're also forgetting that the main role of a defender sometimes is actually to defend, where, you know, Carlson might not be the best example of. So the focus has shifted, but you're mentioning the underlying numbers that you know, the goal suppression is very strong, even against the top competition. And when we think about Gouley, we think about, you know, in the future, we see this maybe stable core piece on the first pairing. If you have Hudson on the other side, or if you have Mayu on the other side, or whomever you have on that side, you think of to anchor that pairing, you have Cade and Gouley. Is that something you can see down the line as well? If he's not already doing it with Savard on the other side.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's how they see him. And I think just the fact of the deployment that he gets right now, which is 5-on-5 against the top competition, tells me that that's how they're grooming him. He's not seeing power play time. And so that's also an interesting nugget. Will he see more power play time? So if he is going to be, is Caden Gouley going to be a play driving game breaker like Makar, Adam Fox, Carlson? I don't think so. Do you think so?
I don't see him have that maybe creativity, or at least not free flowing creativity and, you know, buccaneering style that these players have, and if you groom him like they do in Montreal, that's not what you want him to do either. You don't send him out there to, you know, do this deke and see how it works or something like that. I think that you have Reinbach or Hudson as one pairing already, more or less. You might switch out. Engström is playing a lot on his offside. I think that could work as well. But you need someone to be able to handle Gouley. And the question is, do we have that in the system already? Or do we have, is that something that we're looking for in a very strong defensive draft coming up?
Yeah, I don't see Gouley as, you know, if I had to come up with the predictions right now, I do not see Gouley as a game breaking super play driver like a Fox or a Makar. Do you see him as a, to me, the next tier is that very strong defensive defenseman that also has really strong offensive game too, like a Hedman or a Petrangelo. These are big players.
In some ways, I could see him maybe more as a Hjalmarsson, maybe more towards that angle. You know, not getting that power play time as Hedman gets, and towards that kind of, you know, he can play in the offensive zone, but he cannot really. You know, it's not his main strength, but he can hit there. He can step up and force that turnover or stop the play with a good physical hit because he has that physicality. I think that, you know, when you look at, and obviously I watch the Swedish guys most, but I can see that kind of play. He's not, you know, he's not big as Chara, but Chara also had that kind of situation. He doesn't have the shot as Weber. So, but in other ways, I can see a kind of Weber-esque sort of role for him as well, where one player that stands out to me in my mind is very underrated in some ways, but has a few cup rings as well, and that's probably Shell Shell Samuelsson, right? Or Shell, you know, one of those old school defenders, maybe with the that you know just anchors the team. You can put them out anywhere, and you know that they're gonna, you know, nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty accurate, right? So I mean, like a Slavin or a Ekholm or a Uyghur.
Yeah.
The kind of stats that those guys are putting up is something I think that the Habs are trying to strive for Gouley.
If you have that anchor man in a way, that means that you can be a little bit more swashbuckling or you know, that kind, you can have that kind of player. He will cover up that. I know I've spoken to you about this, that you might need a Libro. I used to say that about a certain Romanov, but that's not the way that Montreal wanted to coach him up. And I think that's still the way that he should have been playing. But you were right in that regard, that he was traded. And I owe you a couple of beers for that. And don't drink and drive, kids. They want that because you need someone like that on a Stanley Cup winning team. You're going to need a player like that to anchor and playing 25, 28 minutes a game. And that's Gouley down the line. It's going to happen along the same time as the core is going to be there with him at that time. The question is, what kind of pieces can Montreal get in, either through trades or with the players they have in the system? We're going to take a quick break here, and I advise you all to lower the volume a little bit, because there's going to be a little bit of a higher PR situation coming up.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
There you have it. We're here with Jason Paul, Wavental at X, Twitter, and whatever it's going to be called when Musk loses it. When we look at Caden Gouley this time, one of the big questions is, obviously Montreal is going to be maybe not as good as we wanted directly in a stacked Atlantic division. But what should fans look for when they look at Caden Gouley next year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think they need to see him be a bit more steady. The 5-on-5 game, which is going to be his bread and butter, which we just had that conversation. He's not going to be Adam Fox, probably won't even be, couldn't be a headman. So if you're not producing on the power play and you're not doing a game breaking style, then you need to slide into that Jacob Slavin style, Uyghur style kind of a game. And that means being extremely consistent defensively. So, you know, earlier on, we were putting out some stats there about his expected goals against being good. It's not really that good relative to the league, but it's good relative to his teammates. So I think he needs to take the next step. One of the things that sticks out to me looking at the data as well is the PK. Again, it's a little bit of a train wreck. So it's hard to, you know, assess a single player out of that rubble. But, you know, he's kind of at the bottom of that rubble as well. So that needs to be something that he needs to improve on as well. I think we've got to give him a huge break. It was his first year last year. I'm sure there's going to be tons of tape that they're going to go over, a lot of training and stuff. So you should see some tightening up on that kind of stuff. So if he wants to be, in other words, if they have him as a defensive specialist, he's going to have to show that, even a ratchet it up a bit more this year.
And as you mentioned, if you don't get any PK time, they sort of power play time, they're sort of going to expect you to want to get on that PK and be sure to shut it down. On the other hand, Montreal hasn't really had a very good, you know, either power play or PK for, you know, I don't know how long. Well, since Carey Price heyday, when he would block anything anyway. But in a way, it's good to let him play PK as well, because it will teach him to play defensive zone coverage in a better way. And as you mentioned, he's already playing against the top competition. That's another way of playing against top competition and learning the basics.
Yeah, I agree. The Habs do need to do something to clean up that PK for sure. Well, the special teams, they've had bad special teams for, I think they're going on 5 years now. And, you know, to me, that doesn't make sense. It's something's wrong there. I mean, they have new coaching staff. They have new players. How can it possibly be that bad? So I'd love to see this young group carve out and become specialists. You see that a lot on other teams. And I think Hayden Gouley, Kovacevic, you know, these guys need to show that they can do that on the PK as well.
Obviously, when we look at Caden Gouley, should we look for more time on ice? Should we look for, you know, we would obviously be able to understand the very good underlying numbers that you mentioned, but we need you to tell us. So in a simple way, looking at the graphs, obviously you want to move them towards the top right corner, but when it comes to it, we also want to see him take a little bit more of that responsibility and maybe, you know, we can't compare the Carlson factor because he's not going to score 15 goals and he's not going to put up 28 assists or something like that. So we want to look at something clear, and that would probably be ice time, right?
Not only ice time, I think he can go up a little bit more in ice time. He already almost played 21 minutes a game, which is quite a bit. Considering that it's all hard minutes, right? The 5-on-5 and the PK. I think as a viewer, what I would be watching for is, I did this tweet about Nick Suzuki last year or a couple of years ago. I call it the first overboards, litmus test. Is he first overboards for the power play? Yes. Is he first overboards when you need to hold the lead? Yes. Is he first over the boards when you need to get a goal? Yes. First over the boards on the penalty kill? Yes. That is a star player. And for Caden Gouley, if he's going to be the 5-on-5 in the defensive role, the star player for that, he needs to be first over the boards. And, you know, combing over the data and just watching the games, he's not necessarily first over the boards for that. And it was one of my indicators that Romanov was on his way out last year, or was it 2 years ago now? As soon as Edmondson came back and Petrie, when they were hurt, this was the time that Romanov was getting a ton of ice time, and TSN was making note of it, that he was leading the team in ice time per game, blah blah blah. But as soon as those guys came back, he was never first over the boards anymore for that important defensive face-off. And so this is what we want to see Caden Gouley next year. When there's 1 minute left in the game and they're up by one, are they throwing Matheson and Savard over the boards, or are they throwing Gouley and Matheson over the boards? You know, so that's what I look for.
Very interesting. And that's what we all will look for after this. When we look at overall defensive, though, we mentioned Matheson, we mentioned Savard. Savard is getting a hard time by the Montreal Canadiens faithful. What can you tell us about Savard that we don't already know?
I think all the players on this team were pushed in a position that was out of their range, right? Savard is not a top pairing guy on most teams, but he was for Montreal. You might even say the same thing for Matheson. Almost every player on that team was a stretch to be in the position that they were in. So I think it's the same for Savard. I think he's done an admirable job. There was a stretch last year where him and Matheson, I don't know how many games it was, not very many, like 10 or 15 or 20, where they took the hardest minutes and they were playing very, very well. You know, the seasons and all these little segments that you have to take a look at. And I will remember last year of that, 15 or 20 game segment when they were together, that they played the hardest minutes and they did very, very well. So, you know, people complain about the pairings, and they're down on Savard sometimes, but I mean, you can't forget that these guys are, a little bit out of their league on this team the way it's structured right now. And I think, me personally, I think they're doing a pretty good job.
We always hear, and I'm one of the ones saying it as well, that NHL is not a development league. Looking at, you know, the young core coming up and the young defense coming up as well. Some will be in Laval this year, and some will be in Montreal. But how important is it to get those heavy minutes? Obviously, as we mentioned, even if it's a tough competition and you might end up causing a goal, even in NHL, is it still a development league, or do you have that trust in the organization that we might have on the offensive side in regards to Martin Saint-Louis?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't, if that's what you're saying, that it's not a development league. I'm kind of old school that way. I didn't like seeing Slavkovsky out there getting hammered. I didn't like that they brought up, and I know it's different management with Kotkaniemi. Maybe you could say the same thing about Gouley, but I don't think so. They gave him the minutes. Was a little bit disappointed last year that they didn't give Harris more power play time. And that's a good example, but I know they had a little bit of a deal with him. When it comes to the offensive players, I believe that they need to touch the puck and they need to be running power plays. Again, if they have Gouley slated to be this hard-nosed 5-on-5 guy, maybe it's less important on the development side of things here. So at some point they're going to have to stop the bleeding and not allow so much losing for the sake of development. But I don't know, maybe they got another year, maybe they have another 2 years of that kind of hockey. It'll be interesting.
I know you don't follow prospect as much as maybe I do, but is Caden Gouley the top defensive prospect in the Montreal prospect pool?
That's a great question. I think, you know, I need a definition of what top prospect means. And it's almost like the draft, you know. The draft, I think from a business standpoint, you want to hit a home run. You don't want to hit a double. You want to keep swinging for home runs and allow the singles and the doubles to go somewhere else. If that's the definition, I might go with Lane Hutson, simply because even if it's only a 20% chance that he's going to be a superstar, that's a 20% chance he's going to be a superstar. I don't think Gouley is going to be a Hockey Hall of Famer superstar.
Well,
what do you think of that answer?
Well, there we have it. You know, now I agree with you, but I also think in some regards that you will have to look for a complementary piece to make sure that those 20% of the superstar happens. Totally. I mentioned it on another podcast or one or two of the other podcasts that in regards to David Reinbacher, as an example, that he might not be the sexy pick, but he is the pick that makes your sexy pick from last year even better.
That's a great way to put it. No, I like that. I like how you put that. Hey, I really like Gouley, but I always have this, you know, I do this data and I on my Twitter, I often talk kind of more like business talk, and I'm always interested in how a team puts all these picks into a business format. And defensemen specifically are an interesting case simply because they take longer to develop. So by the time you get them in the show, you have maybe 2 or 3 years before they become an unrestricted free agent. You also have to consider the development, the time that they're spending developing, right? You're spending money, you're spending time. If they're in the show, if they're in the NHL, you're taking a seat and you're taking losses to develop somebody. Whereas forwards, they tend to hit the ground running a little bit more quickly. And so your asset is paying dividends more quickly. So I do find it interesting. And then if it's not a superstar we're talking about, if you're talking about a third line player or a fifth defenseman, Why are you spending 3 or 4 or 5 years developing someone who's going to be a fifth defenseman when you can maybe more easily, more cost effectively, be just signing someone or trade for someone? Because you see how the Red Wings just got Petrie for nothing, right?
Yeah.
So I just find it an interesting case from a business standpoint of, you know, return on investment and all that kind of stuff. I'll reel it back a little bit more and say I do love what the Habs are doing. Because it's not just about on paper business. It's about having a guy like Kane Gooley be there from day one, become a leader, become a Hab from day one, maybe a future captain. You know, that is worth something as well. You know, so it's an interesting equation. I would love to be a fly on the wall and when they talk about this kind of stuff.
Wouldn't we all? We have been listening to one of my favorite guests on the pod, mainly because Jillian isn't here with us anymore. Well, she is alive and fine, but she's not participating in hockey Twitter or hockey right now. We're here with Jason Paul. Fantastic to have you on. I'm so looking forward. I'm sure I promise the listeners that we're going to get back to you quite soon. And then I'm looking forward to have you on during the season, because your insights are such a valuable source for the rest of us that maybe aren't as mathematical astute as you are.
Thanks, Patrick. It's always a joy to be on.